From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues dealing with the theme of Pardon for Sins of Believers, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Our Holiest Example. The text is from Psalm 16 and verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. This is the way to live. With God always before us, we shall have the noblest companionship, the holiest example, the sweetest consolation, and the mightiest influence. This must be a resolute act of the mind. I have set, and it must be maintained as a set and settled thing. Always to have an eye to the Lord's eye and an ear for the Lord's voice, this is the right state for the godly man. His God is near him, filling the horizon of his vision, leading the way of his life, and furnishing the theme of his meditation. What vanities we should avoid! What sins we should overcome, what virtues we should exhibit, what joys we should experience if we did indeed set the Lord always before us. Why not? This is the way to be safe. The Lord being ever in our minds, we come to feel safety and certainty because of His being so near. He is at our right hand to guide and aid us, and hence we are not moved by fear, nor force, nor fraud, nor fickleness. When God stands at a man's right hand, that man is himself sure to stand. Come on, then, ye foemen of the truth. Rush against me like a furious tempest, if ye will. God upholds me. God abides with me. Whom shall I fear?
Extol Thee, bending wings.
Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last.
Thank you.
Recently, Dr. Cairns has been dealing with the second division of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, which mainly concern ourselves and our needs. The principal focus here is on sin and its consequences. In this message, Dr. Cairns is addressing the meaning of pardon for sin. What are we asking when we pray and forgive us our debts? As we've seen, we're asking for a full, free, and felt pardon for sin. However, this petition also implies forsaking of the sin once we have obtained that pardon. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message called Pardon for Sins of Believers.
When we pray for forgiveness, we pray, Lord, send our sin away. And this is how the Lord describes himself. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. We're praying, Lord, forgive us. Send our sins away. We're praying, obviously, Lord, do not inflict the punishment of those sins upon us. Do not put upon us the just desert of our sins. Rather, deal with us on the ground of the blood of Jesus Christ. I spoke about a felt pardon. What we're praying is, Lord, cleanse my conscience and deliver me from all my guilt. As we read in the 51st Psalm, in verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. Verse 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. What was David talking about here? Remember, this was after a great sin of David's. I have no apology to make for David's sin. He committed adultery, and to cover it, he schemed to put one of his mighty men, if you read the list of his mighty men, Uriah was among them, one of his best soldiers, one of his most devoted followers, he schemed to put him in the hottest part of the battle to make sure he would be killed, to cover up for David's sin. There's no excuse for that, you know. He might have been a great king and a great saint and a great man of God in every other way, but that's a blot on David's history and David's character for which there's no excuse. You can say that David didn't live in our day. The day in which David lived, kings would have done that, and I don't think there's one other king in the world would have lost one wink of sleep over it. There wasn't one other king living to whom it would have been a matter of concern, because they were absolute monarchs. They owned everything and every person under their control as their chattels, and he could take what he wanted, when he wanted, why he wanted, for how long he wanted, and every man's life was in his hand. That was the law, that was the rule of society, but it was not the rule of God, and David knew it. And so, burdened down with guilt, there was nobody on earth to visit punishment upon him. There was nobody on earth who could say anything to him about it. But in his heart, he knew he had grieved God. Now let me tell you, if you're a Christian here this morning, you know exactly how that feels. Every Christian here, and many unsaved people, know the very same thing. That there are things in your life that I don't know about, and others don't know about, and there's nobody on earth can visit vengeance, and yet it eats at your soul, and the guilt brings such misery to your heart. That's why David prayed, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, do this deep inward work, touch my conscience. And I'm using the language of Hebrews 9 now, the purging of the conscience. The purging of the conscience. Lord, cleanse my conscience so that not only in the sight of God will my sin be put away, and my heart be clear and pure and clean, but in my own heart I will feel clean. cleanse my conscience. That's one of the glories of the gospel. I've often referred in the pulpit, and I make no apology for doing it again, to the very first gospel mission I ever preached as a very young and inexperienced preacher in a little town in Northern Ireland. And I will never, never, as long as I live, or until my memory gets a lot worse than it is now, I will never forget one Wednesday night in that gospel mission, kneeling beside the most wicked, immoral, vicious, living, and foul-tongued woman in the whole town. Seeing what Dr. Paisley rightly calls the true holy water. Seeing a pool of tears on the old wooden bench. See that woman rise from her knees, a new creature in Jesus Christ. Washed. Aglow with the joy of God. Clean. Clean. Dr. Paisley's father was my English Bible teacher when I was a student. And he used to tell us the story, as well as being a great Bible teacher, J. Kyle Paisley was a constant and tireless evangelist. Went all around the north of Ireland, country towns and villages, set up tents and went into halls, mission halls, and what we call over there orange halls, and he would preach everywhere. One night in his hometown, where he was the minister in the Baptist Tabernacle in Ballymena, one night there, I think I can honestly say the dirtiest woman in Ballymena came to Christ. I mean dirty physically. I have an aunt who used to say, for a joke, mind you, just for a joke, is, ah, I wash my feet every Christmas Eve, whether I need it or not. But this woman, if she said hello to soap once or twice a year, it would have been enough. This was the dirtiest woman in Ballymena. She stank. She came to Christ that night. J. Kyle Paisley had the joy of pointing her to the way of having a clean conscience. Then he did a strange thing. Well, not so strange, but certainly most preachers wouldn't have the audacity to do it. He said, now you just sit there, dear. And he went out and he got a bar of soap. And he brought it in and he said, now, if you're clean inwardly, there's a bar of soap, go home and get clean outwardly. And let the world see the difference that God has made in your life. She said, thank you. Took the soap, went home and got scrubbed up. For the rest of her life, she glowed with grace. But what the world could see was she had the cleanest house in the town of Ballymena. Cleanse me in my conscience, in my heart, in my mind. Wash me thoroughly from one end to the other. What we're praying is, Lord, remove from me every hindrance to fellowship. There's a prayer in this 51st Psalm that has caused a great controversy. Dispensationalists tell us this does not belong to the prayers of the New Testament church. Well, let me tell you, be very careful about people who want to cut great hunks out of the Bible and tell you they don't belong to a Christian. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is profitable. And I don't believe in cutting the Psalms out. This 51st Psalm says, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And these dispensationalists tell us, well, sure, when you're saved, you can't lose the Holy Spirit. So this is not a prayer for a Christian. No, but if you read on in context, you can certainly lose the felt joy and experience of the Holy Ghost, and you can lose the movings of the Spirit's power. There are people who have been regenerated by the Spirit who are certainly not exhibiting much of the power of the Holy Ghost in their lives. And this is what was happening to David. And he was saying, Lord, do not cast me out of your presence. Do not break the fellowship. Deal with the things that are hurting my fellowship with God. Well, that's a great prayer. Sinners are totally out of fellowship with God. They are aliens. They must have sin dealt with if they're ever to come into fellowship with God. Christians who are genuinely saved and they have the right of access to the throne of God, yet find, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But, says Isaiah in chapter 59, verse 2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. You know, every Christian knows that. Now, have a good look at your own life this morning. Bring it to the mirror of God's Word. Are there men and women here, and you can remember a time when you lived in the warmth of such fellowship with God that you had entrance to the presence of God? An hour would fly by in the holy place of prayer, and you could honestly sing the words of the hymn, oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Those days are but a distant memory. Prayer meeting is the easiest meeting never to be at. The local private time of prayer in your own room is the hardest time in the whole week. Sometimes it's ignored entirely. What's wrong? Something has come in to break the fellowship. Forgive us our sins. Deal with what is breaking the fellowship. Give us a conscious enjoyment again of all that Christ did for us and continues to do for us. And restore us, Lord, to useful service for the glory of God. Isn't this how David prayed in our Bible reading this morning? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then, what happens? Then I'll teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. You know, this is the great thing that the Lord gets through to his people again and again, and the devil hits God's people to grasp this. Listen, Christian, there's always forgiveness with God. There's always restoration with God. The Lord is my shepherd. He restoreth my soul. There's always restoration with the Lord. And when the soul of the believer is restored to the enjoyment of fellowship, God opens his mouth, God blesses his testimony, and his life is once again useful and usable to the Master. Here was David. A joyless, broken-hearted, disillusioned man. King in name, but conquered in soul. And he comes and says, Lord, restore me. Uphold me. And I will teach others, and sinners will be converted unto thee. This is what we're asking the Lord to do with our sin.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.